Do you think I do not understand what I am doing to you? Her eyes had an empty gloss to them. Your training and service will last for mere weeks before you die. The training of a moored Sith lasts for years. Everything I do to you and more has been done to me 1,000 times over. A moored Sith must know her Aegil better than she knows herself. My first trainer took me for his mate when I was 15, after he had trained me since I was 12. There is no way I could ever live up to his cruelty or his ability to keep a person on the cusp between life and death. He trained me until I was 18, when I killed him. For that, I was punished with the Aegil every day for the next 2 years. This Aegil, the very same one I use on you, was the one used to train me. It was presented to me when I was proclaimed Mort Sith. I live for nothing else but to use it. Mistress Dana, he whispered. Oh, I'm sorry. The steel returned to her eyes. She nodded. You will be. There is no one who will help you. That includes me. You will find that being the mate to a moored Sith brings you no added privileges, only a great deal of added pain. Richard hung helpless in the shackles, overwhelmed by the enormity of it all. Understanding her a little only increased his hopelessness. There was no escape for him. He was the mate of a madwoman. The frown and the smile returned. Why would you be so foolish as to do what you did? Surely, you must know I will hurt you for doing it. He looked at her puzzlement for a moment. Mistress Dana, what difference does it make? You are going to hurt me anyway. I can't imagine what more you could do to me. Her lip curled in a sneer. Oh, my love, you have a very limited imagination. He felt her grab the tongue of his belt and yank the buckle open. She gritted her teeth. It is time we found some new places on you to hurt. It is time to see what you are really made of. The look in her eyes made him go cold. Thank you, my love, for giving me the excuse to do this to you. I have never before done it to another, but it has been done to me enough times. It is what broke me when I was 14. Tonight, she whispered, neither of us is going to get any sleep. Chapter 42. The bucketful of cold water on his naked flesh barely revived him. He only dimly saw the little rivers of water that were stained bright red as they ran away from him in the cracks of the stone floor his face lay against. Each shallow breath he took was a mighty effort. He wondered idly how many of his ribs she had broken.
"Put your clothes on. We're leaving," she called down to him.
"Yes, Mistress Dana," he whispered, his voice so hoarse from screaming he knew she couldn't hear him, and knew she would hurt him for not answering, and yet he could do no more. When the Aegil didn't come, he moved a little, saw his boot, and reached out to it, pulling it to him. He sat up, but couldn't raise his head above his shoulders. It hung limply. With great difficulty, he started putting on his boot. Gashes on his feet brought tears to his eyes when he pulled. Her knee to his jaw knocked him flat on his back. She fell on him, sitting on his chest, hitting his face with her fists.
"What's the matter with you? Are you stupid? Your pants go on before your boots. Do I have to tell you everything?"
"Yes, Mistress Dana. No, Mistress Dana. Forgive me, Mistress Dana. Thank you, Mistress Dana, for hurting me. Thank you, Mistress Dana, for teaching me," he mumbled. She sat on his chest, panting in rage. Her breathing slowed after a time. "Come on, I will help you." She leaned over and kissed him.
Come on, my love. You'll be able to rest while we travel.
Yes, Mistress Dana.
The sound of his voice was hardly more than a breath. She kissed him again. Come on, my love. It will be better now that I have broken you. You will see.
A closed carriage stood waiting for them in the dark. Clouds from the horse's breath rose and drifted slowly in the cold, still air. Richard stumbled a few times as he walked behind her, trying to keep the proper slack to the chain. He had absolutely no idea how long it had been since she had decided he was to be her mate, nor did it matter to him. A guard opened the carriage door. Denna tossed the end of his chain on the floor.
Get in.
Richard grabbed the sides of the door. He dimly heard someone approach in a huff. Denna gave a little tug to the chain, indicating she wanted him to wait where he was.
Denna!
It was the queen at the head of her advisers.
Mistress Denna, she corrected.
The queen looked to be in a foul mood.
Where do you think you are going with him?
That is none of your concern. It is time we were on our way.
How is the princess? The queen glowered.
We don't know if she will live. I will be taking the seeker. He is to pay.
The seeker is the property of myself and of Master Rall. He is being punished and will continue to be punished until either Master Rall or myself kills him. There is nothing you could do to him that could equal what is already being done.
He is to be executed right now.
Denna's voice was as cold as the night air.
Go back to your castle, Queen Melena, while you still have a castle.
Richard saw a knife in the queen's hand. The guard standing next to him unhooked his battle axe, gripping it tightly in his fist. There was a crystal clear moment of silence. The queen backhanded Denna and lunged with the knife for Richard. Denna effortlessly caught her with the aegil against her large chest. As the guard went past him, raising the axe to Denna, the strange power roared awake. Richard summoned all his strength, became one with the power. He hooked his left arm around the guard's throat and drove his knife home. Denna gave a casual glance back as the man let out a death scream. She smiled, and her eyes glided back to the queen, who stood shaking, paralyzed in place, the aegil between her breasts. Denna gave a twist to the aegil. The queen dropped straight down in a heap. Denna turned her glare to the queen's advisers.
The queen's heart has given out.
She arched an eyebrow.
Unexpectedly. Please, express my condolence to the people of Tamarang on the death of their ruler. I would suggest you find a new ruler who is more attentive to the wishes of Master Rall.
They all gave a quick bow. The awakened power flickered and was gone. The effort of stopping the guard had taken all the strength Richard had left. His shaking legs would no longer hold him. The ground tilted and came up to meet him. Denna grabbed his chain near the collar, raising his head off the ground.
I didn't tell you to lie down. You were not given permission. On your feet!
He couldn't move. She drove the aegil into his stomach, dragged it up his chest to his throat. Richard convulsed in pain, but could not make his body respond to her wishes.
Sorry, he breathed.
She let his head drop to the ground when she realized he wasn't able to move, and turned to the guards.
Put him inside.
She climbed in after him, yelling up to the driver to be off, and pulled the door shut. Richard slumped back as the carriage jerked ahead.
Please, Mr. Stanner, he said in a slur. Forgive me for letting you down, for failing to stand as you wished. I'm sorry, I will do better in the future. Please punish me to teach me to be better.
She gripped the chain close to the collar, her knuckles white, lifting him from the seat back. Her lips curled in a sneer over gritted teeth.
Don't you dare die on me now. Not yet. You have things to do first.
His eyes were closed.
As you command, Mistress Dena.
She let go of the chain, took his shoulders, laid him across the seat, and gave him a kiss on his forehead.
You have my permission to rest now, my love. It's a long way. You will have a long time to rest before it starts again.
Richard felt her fingers smoothing his hair back and the bouncing of the carriage as it sped along the road, and was asleep. From time to time he came partly awake, never fully conscious. Sometimes Dena sat next to him, letting him lean against her as she spooned food into his mouth. Swallowing was painful, almost more effort than he could bring forth. He winced with each spoonful, his hunger not sufficient to overcome the pain in his throat, and he turned his head from the spoon. Dena murmured encouragement to him, urging him to eat for her. Doing it for her was the only thing he responded to. Whenever a bump in the road brought him awake suddenly, he would clutch at her for protection, safety, until she told him it was nothing and to go back to sleep. He knew that sometimes he slept on the ground, sometimes in the carriage. He saw nothing of the countryside they traveled through, nor did he care. As long as she was near him, that was all that mattered. Nothing else was important except being ready to do as she commanded. A few times he slowly came awake to find her wedged into the corner with him stretched out, his cloak tucked around him, his head on her breast as she stroked his hair. When it happened, he tried not to let her know he was awake, so she wouldn't stop. When this happened, and he felt the warm comfort of her, he also felt the power in him come awake. He didn't try to reach it, to hold it. He only noted it. One time when it happened, he recognized it, knew what it was. It was the magic of the sword. As he lay against her, feeling the need of her, the magic stood within him. He touched it, fondled it, felt its power. It was like the power he had called forth when he was going to kill with the sword, but different in a way he couldn't understand. The power he had known before, he could no longer feel. Dena had that power now, but this she didn't. When he tried to grasp the magic, it vanished like vapor. A dim part of his mind wanted its help, but since he couldn't control it, call it forth to aid him, he lost interest in it. As the time passed, his wounds began healing over. Each time he came awake, he was a little more alert. By the time Dena announced that they had arrived at their destination, he was able to stand by himself, although he was still not completely clear-headed. In the darkness, she led him from the carriage. He watched her feet as she walked, keeping the proper slack in the chain attached to her belt. Even though he kept his eyes on her, he still noticed the place they were entering. It was immense, dwarfing the castle at Tamarang. Walls stretched off into the nothingness of the distance. Towers and roofs rose to dizzying heights. He was aware enough to note that the design of the vast structure was elegant and graceful. It was imposing, but not harsh, not forbidding. Dena led him through halls of polished marble and granite. Columns held majestic arches to the sides. As they walked on and on, he noticed how his strength had grown. He wouldn't have been able to stand for this long even a few days ago. They saw no other people. Richard looked up at her braid and thought about how pretty her hair was, how lucky he was to have such a fine mate. At the thought of his caring for her, the power rose up. Before it had a chance to fade, the dim, locked-away part of his mind grabbed it, held it, while the rest of his mind thought about his affection for her. The realization that he had control of it made him stop thinking about her and grab the hope of escape. The power evaporated. His heart sank. What did it matter, he thought. He was never going to escape. And why would he want to, anyway? He was Dena's mate. Where would he go? What would he do without her to tell him what to do? Dena went through a door, closing it behind him. A window with a pointed top was trimmed with simple drapes and open to the darkness outside. There was a bed with a thick blanket and fat pillows. The floor was polished wood. Lamps stood lit on the table next to the bed, and on the table with a chair on the other side of the room. There were cabinets of dark wood built into one wall next to another door. A stand held a basin and pitcher. Dena unhooked his chain. These are my quarters. Since you are my mate, you will be permitted to sleep here if you please me. She hooked the loop over the post of the footboard, snapped her fingers, and pointed at the floor at the foot of the bed. You may sleep there tonight, on the floor. He looked at the floor. The Aegil laid on the top of his shoulder took him to his knees. I said on the floor. Now. Yes, Mistress Dena. I'm sorry, Mistress Dena. I'm exhausted. I don't want to hear another sound out of you tonight. Understand? He nodded, afraid to voice his agreement. Good. She flopped face down in the bed and was asleep in moments. Richard rubbed the hurt in his shoulder. It had been a while since she had used the Aegil on him. At least she hadn't chosen to draw blood. Maybe, he reasoned, she didn't want blood in her quarters. No, Dena liked his blood. He lay down on the floor. He knew that tomorrow she was going to hurt him some more. He tried not to think about it. He was just getting healed from before. He was awake before her. The shock of being awakened by the Aegil was something he wanted to avoid. A bell rang with a long peal. Dena woke, lay on her back a while, saying nothing, then sat up, checking that he was awake. Morning devotions, she announced. That was the bell, the call. After devotions, you will be trained. Yes, Mistress Dena. She hooked his chain to her belt and led him once more through the halls to a square, open to the sky, with pillars supporting arches on all four sides. The center of the square, under the open sky, was white sand, raked in concentric circles around a dark, pitted rock. On the top of the rock was a bell, the one he had heard before. On the tile floor among the columns were people on their knees, bent forward, with their foreheads touching the tile. The people chanted in unison, Master Rawl, guide us. Master Rawl, teach us. Master Rawl, protect us. In your light we thrive. In your mercy we are sheltered. In your wisdom we are humbled. We live only to serve. Our lives are yours. Over and over they chanted the same thing. Dena snapped her fingers, pointing at the floor. Richard kneeled down, imitating the others. Dena kneeled next to him, putting her forehead to the tiles. She started chanting in unison with the others, but stopped when she heard he wasn't. That's 2 hours. She frowned darkly at him. If I have to remind you again, it's 6. Yes, Mistress Dena. He began chanting along. He had to concentrate on a vision of Dena's braid to be able to say the words without bringing on the pain of the magic. He wasn't sure how long the chanting lasted, but he thought it was about 2 hours. His back hurt from bending with his head to the floor. The words never varied. After a time, they melted into the sound of gibberish, feeling like mush in his mouth. The bell rang twice, and the people rose to their feet, going off in different directions. Dena rose. Richard stayed where he was, unsure of what to do. He knew he might get in trouble for staying where he was, but knew if he got up and wasn't supposed to, the punishment would be much worse. He heard footsteps coming toward them, but didn't look up. A woman's husky voice spoke.
"Sister Nana, how good to see you returned. Tahara has been lonely without you."
Tahara! Through the fog of his training, the word ignited his thoughts. Instantly, he brought to mind the vision of Denna's braid protecting him.
"Sister Constance, it's good to be home and see your face again."
Richard recognized the ring of sincerity in Denna's voice. The Aegil touched the back of his neck, taking his breath away. It felt as if a rope were tightening around his throat. By the way it was held, he knew it wasn't Denna's.
"And what have we here?" Constance asked.
She took the Aegil away. Coughing in pain, Richard gasped for air. He came to his feet when Denna told him to do so, wishing he could hide behind her. Constance was a good head shorter than Denna, her stout figure dressed in a leather outfit like Denna's, only brown. Her dull brown hair was done in a braid, too, but didn't have the fullness of Denna's. The look of her face made it seem she had just eaten something she didn't like. Denna gave his stomach an easy slap with the back of her hand.
"My new mate."
"Mate!" Constance spat the word out as if it tasted bitter. "I swear, Denna, I'll never understand how you can bear to take a mate. The thought of it gives me a stomach ache."
"So, the Seeker?
I see by his sword. Quite a catch, anyway. It must have been difficult." Denna smiled smugly.
"He only killed 2 of my men before he turned his magic on me."
The look of shock on Constance's face made Denna laugh.
"He's from Westland."
Constance's eyebrows went up.
"No!"
She peered into Richard's eyes.
"Is he broken?"
"Yes," Denna said, sighing. "But he still gives me reason to smile. It's only the morning devotion, and already he's earned 2 hours.
A grin spread on Constance's face.
"Mind if I come along?"
Denna gave her a warm smile.
"You know that anything that is mine is yours also, Constance. In fact, you will be my second."
Constance seemed pleased and proud. Richard had to furiously think of Denna's braid as the edges of the anger burned to get away from him. Denna leaned closer to her friend.
"In fact, for you only, if you wish to borrow him for a night, I would not object."
Constance stiffened with displeasure. Denna laughed.
"Never try, never know."
Constance scowled.
"I will have my pleasure from his flesh in other ways. I'll go change into the red and meet you there."
"No, the brown is fine for now."
Constance studied her face.
"That's not like you, Denna."
"I have my reasons. Besides, Master Rawl himself sent me for this one."
"Master Rawl himself? As you wish, then. After all, he is yours to do with as you will."
The training room was a simple square with walls and floor of gray granite and a beamed ceiling. On the way in, Constance tripped him. He landed on his face. Before he could stop it, the anger gripped him. She stood over him, pleased with herself, watching him struggle to regain control. Denna attached a device to him that held his wrists and elbows tightly together behind his back. It was hooked to a rope that ran through a pulley in the ceiling and was tied off at the wall. She hoisted him up until he had to stand on his toes before she tied the rope off at the wall. The pain in his shoulders was excruciating, making it hard to breathe, and she hadn't even touched the Aegil to him yet. He was helpless, off balance, and in agony before she even started. His mood sank. Denna sat in a chair against the wall, telling Constance to enjoy herself. When Denna had trained him, she often had a smile on her face. Constance never smiled once. She went about her work like an ox at a plow, strands of hair coming loose, and in no time her face was covered with a sheen of sweat. She never varied the touch of her aegil. It was always the same, always hard, harsh, angry. Richard didn't have to anticipate. There was no pause. She worked with rhythmic timing, never giving him a rest. But she didn't draw blood. Denna had a constant smile on her face as she sat with the chair leaned against the wall. At last, Constance stopped, Richard panting, groaning.
He can take it well. I haven't had a workout like this in quite a time. All the pets I've gotten lately fold at the first touch.
The chair came down on its front legs with a clunk.
Maybe I can help, Sister Constance. Let me show you where he doesn't like it.
Denna came up behind him and paused, making him flinch in expectation of what didn't come. Just as he breathed out, the aegil drove into a tender spot on the right side. He cried out as she held the pressure against him. He couldn't hold his weight, and the rope pulled his shoulders so hard he thought his arms would come out of their sockets. With a sneer, Denna held the aegil to him until he started crying.
"Please, Mistress Denna," he sobbed. "Please."
She withdrew the aegil.
"See?"
Constance shook her head.
"Oh, I wish I had your talent, Denna. Here is another place,"
she made him scream.
"And here?" "And here, too."
She came around and smiled to him.
"You don't mind if I show Constance all your special little places, do you?" "Please, Mistress Denna, don't. It hurts too much." "There, you see? He doesn't mind at all."
She went back to her chair as tears ran down his face. Constance never smiled. She simply went to work, and also had him begging breathlessly. But the way she never varied the pressure, never let up, was worse than Denna. She never gave him a moment to rest. Richard learned to fear her touch more than he feared Denna's. Denna had an odd compassion at times. Constance never did. When it was beyond a certain point, Denna would tell her to stop. Wait a moment, guide her so as not to cripple him. Constance complied with her wishes and let Denna direct the way she wanted him hurt.
"You don't have to stay, Denna, if you have things to do. I won't mind."
Fear and panic raced through his mind. He didn't want to be left alone with Constance. He knew that Constance wanted to do things to him that Denna didn't want done. He didn't know what they were, but he feared them.
"Another time, I will leave you alone with him to do things your way. But today, I will stay."
Richard made sure he showed no sign that he was relieved. Constance went back to work. After a while longer, when she was behind him, Constance grabbed a fistful of his hair and yanked his head back, hard. Richard knew very well what it meant to have his head pulled back in this manner. He remembered the pain of what she was about to do, the pain of having the aegil in his ear. He shook uncontrollably, couldn't breathe with the fear of it. Denna came out of her chair.
"Don't do that, Constance."
Constance gritted her teeth as she looked at him, pulling his head back harder.
"Why not? Surely you've done it."
"Yes, I just don't want you to, that's all. Master Rawl hasn't talked to him yet. I don't want to take any chances."
A grin came to Constance's face.
"Denna, let's do it together, at the same time, you and me, like we used to. I told you Master Rawl wants to talk to him." "After that?"
Denna smiled.
"It has been a long time since I've heard that scream."
She looked to Richard's eyes.
"If Master Rawl doesn't kill him, and he doesn't die first from other things, then yes, we will do it to him. All right? But not now. And Constance, please respect my wishes about using the aegil in his ear."
Constance nodded and released his hair.
Don't think you have gotten off easy. She scowled at him. Sooner or later, you and I will be alone, and then I will take my pleasure from you.
Yes, Mistress Constance, he whispered hoarsely.
After they were finished training him, they went to lunch. Richard followed behind, the chain hooked to Denna's belt. The dining hall was tasteful in its simple style of frame and panel oak over a white marble floor. There was the soft murmur of conversation at the various tables as people ate. Denna snapped her fingers as she sat, pointing at the floor behind her chair. Servers brought food to the two moored Sith, but none for Richard. Lunch was a hearty-looking soup, cheese, brown bread, and fruit. The good smells drove Richard to distraction. There was no meat served. Halfway through her meal, Denna turned and told him that he would get no lunch for having earned 2 hours that morning. She said that if he behaved himself, he would get dinner. The afternoon was spent at devotions, and after that, several hours of training. Denna and Constance shared the task. Richard did his best to do nothing wrong, and at dinner was rewarded with a bowl of rice with vegetables over it. After dinner were more devotions and more training, until at last they left Constance and returned to Denna's quarters. Richard, dead tired, stooped with pain as he walked.
I wish a bath, she said.
She showed him the room adjoining hers. It was small, empty of everything except a rope holding the binding device from the ceiling and a bathing tub in the corner. She told him the room was for training if he needed it on the spot, and she didn't want blood in her room, and for when she wanted to leave him hanging all night. She promised he would be spending a great deal of time in the little room. She had him drag the tub to the foot of her bed. He took the bucket from the tub and was instructed where to go for hot water. He was to speak to no one, even if spoken to, and he was to run there and back so her bath water wouldn't get cold before the tub was filled. She told him that if he didn't follow her instructions exactly while out of her sight, the pain of the magic would take him down, and if she had to come looking for him, he would be very sorry he had disappointed her. He swore his solemn oath to do as she commanded. The place where the hot water came from, a hot spring in a pool surrounded by white marble seats, was a goodly distance. He was sweating and exhausted by the time he had the tub filled. While she sat soaking in the tub, Richard scrubbed her back, brushed her hair out, and helped her wash it. Denna draped her arms over the sides of the tub, put her head back, and closed her eyes, relaxing while he knelt next to her in case she wanted anything.
You don't like Constance, do you?
Richard didn't know how to answer. He didn't want to say anything bad about her friend, but lying would get him punished too.
I am afraid of her, Mistress Denna.
Denna smiled with her eyes still closed.
Clever answer, my love. You aren't trying to be flip, are you?
No, Mistress Denna, I told you the truth.
Good. You should be afraid of her.
She hates men. Every time she kills one, she cries out the name of the man who first broke her, Rastin.
Remember I told you about the man who broke me, took me for his mate, and that later I killed him? Before he broke me, he was Constance's trainer. His name was Rastin. It was he who broke her. Constance is the one who told me how I could kill him. I would do anything for her. And because I killed the man she hated so, she would do anything for me.
Yes, Mistress Denna. But, Mistress Denna, please, don't leave me alone with her.
I suggest you be very attentive to your duties. If you are, and you do not earn too much time, I will remain when she is training you. You see how lucky you are to have a kind mistress?
Yes, Mistress Denna, thank you for teaching me. You are a gifted teacher.
She opened one eye as if to check his face for a trace of a smirk. There was none. get me a towel and lay my nightclothes on the table by the bed. Richard helped towel her hair dry. Denna didn't put on her nightclothes, but lay back on the bed with her damp hair spread out on the pillow. Go blow out the lamp on the table over there. He went immediately and blew out the flame. Bring me the Aegil, my love. Richard flinched. He hated it when she had him fetch the Aegil. Touching it hurt. Fearing the result of hesitation more, he gritted his teeth and snatched it up, holding it in the open palms of his hands. The pain of it vibrated in his elbows and shoulders. He could hardly wait for her to take it. She had propped up the pillows against the headboard and was sitting up a little, watching him. He let out a deep breath when she picked it out of his hand. Mr. Stenna, why doesn't it hurt you to touch it?
It does, same as you. It hurts me to touch it because it is the one used to train me.
His eyes opened wide.
You mean the whole time you hold it, it hurts you? The whole time you are training me?
She nodded, rolling it in her fingers, looking away from his eyes for a second. She gave him a little frown and smile.
There's rarely a time I am without pain, of one kind or another. That is one reason the training of a Mord Sith takes years, to learn to handle the pain. I guess it's also why only women are Mord Sith. Men are too weak. The chain around my wrist allows me to let it hang. It doesn't hurt when it hangs by the chain. But while I use it on someone, it causes constant pain.
I never knew. Richard's insides knotted in anguish.
I'm sorry, Mistress Tanna. I'm sorry it hurts you, but you must suffer to teach me.
Pain can bring pleasure all its own, my love. That's one of the things I'm teaching you.
And it's time for another lesson.
Her eyes glided up and down him.
Enough talk.
Richard recognized the look in her eyes, the quickening of her breathing.
But, Mistress Denna, you just bathed and I'm all sweaty.
A small smile came to one side of her mouth.
I like your sweat.
With her eyes locked on his, she put the Aegil between her teeth. The days passed with a numbing sameness. Richard didn't mind the devotions because he wasn't being trained, hurt, but he hated saying the words and had to concentrate on Denna's braid the whole of the time he chanted, chanting the same thing hour after hour on his knees with his head against the floor tiles was hardly less onerous than the training. Richard found himself waking at night or in the morning, chanting the words,
Master Rawl, guide us, Master Rawl, teach us, Master Rawl, protect us, in your light we thrive, in your mercy we are sheltered, in your wisdom we are humbled, we live only to serve, our lives are yours.
Denna didn't wear the red anymore. Instead, she wore white leather. She told him it was a gesture that said he was broken, had been taken for a mate, and that to show her power over him, she chose not to make him bleed. Constance didn't like it. It didn't make much difference to Richard. The Aegil felt the same whether it drew blood or not. Constance was with Denna about half the time, occasionally going off to train a new pet. Constance became more and more insistent about being left alone with Richard, but Denna wouldn't permit it. Constance threw her all into his training. The more Richard saw of her, the more terrified he became of her. Denna smiled at him whenever she told Constance to take over. One day, after the afternoon devotion, when Constance had gone off to train someone else, Denna took him back to the little room adjacent to her quarters for his afternoon training. She hoisted him up by the rope until he was hardly able to touch the floor.
Mistress Denna, with your permission, would you allow Mistress Constance to do all my training from now on?
His question had an effect he hadn't expected. It enraged her. She stared at him, her face turning a deep red. Then she started hitting him with the Aegil, driving it into him, screaming at him, telling him how worthless he was, how insignificant, how she was sick of his talking. Denna was strong, and she beat him with the Aegil as hard as she could. It went on and on. Richard couldn't remember her being so angry, so severe, so cruel. Soon he couldn't remember anything, even where he was. He convulsed in pain. He couldn't say anything or beg her to stop or even breathe most of the time. She never slowed or let up. She just seemed to get angrier as she hurt him. He saw blood on the floor, a lot of blood. It was splattered all over her white leather. Her chest heaved with her effort, her rage. Her braid came loose. Denna grabbed his hair and yanked his head back. She gave him no warning. She drove the Aegil in his ear harder than she ever had. She did it again and again. Time distorted into eternity. He no longer knew who he was, what was happening. He no longer tried to beg, to cry, to hold on. She stopped, standing next to him, panting in ire. "I'm going to dinner." He felt the agony of the magic come on in him. He gasped, his eyes going wide. "While I'm gone, and I'm going to take my time, I'm leaving the pain of the magic on you. You will not be able to pass out or to stop it. If you let the anger get away from you, it will make the pain worse, and it will get away from you. I promise." She went to the wall and hoisted the rope up until his feet were off the floor. Richard cried out. His arms felt as if they would be torn out. "Enjoy yourself." She turned on her heels and left. Richard balanced on the edge of sanity and madness, the suffering twisting in him, making him unable to control the anger as she had promised. The flames of his hurt consumed him. It was somehow worse that she wasn't there. He had never felt so alone, so helpless, and the pain wouldn't even let him cry. He could only gasp in agony. He had no idea how long he was left alone. He was aware only of suddenly dropping to the floor, then Denna's boots to either side of his head as she stood over him. She turned off the pain of the magic, but his arms were still clamped helplessly behind his back, and the burning inferno of pain in his shoulders didn't extinguish. He cried against the blood on the floor as she stood over him. "I told you before," she hissed through gritted teeth. "You are my mate for life." He could hear her heavy breathing, the rage in her. "Before I begin doing worse to you, and you are no longer able to speak, I want you to tell me why you asked to have Constance train you instead of me." He coughed up blood, trying to speak. "That is not the way you talk to me. On your knees, now." He tried to get to his knees, but with his arms behind his back, he was unable to. Denna took a fistful of his hair and pulled him up. Dizzy, he fell against her, his face against the wet blood on her belly, his blood. She pushed him away from her with the tip of the Aegil against his forehead. That brought his eyes open. He looked up at her to answer. Denna backhanded him across the mouth. "Look at the ground when you speak to me. No one gave you permission to look at me." Richard looked down at her boots. "You're running out of time. Answer the question." Richard coughed up more blood. It ran down his chin, and he had to struggle to keep from vomiting.
"Because, Mistress Denna," he said hoarsely, "I know it hurts you to hold the Aegil. I know it hurts you to train me. I wanted Mistress Constance to do it, to spare you the pain. I don't want you to hurt. I know what it feels like to hurt. You have taught me. You have already been hurt enough. I don't want you to hurt any more. I would rather have Mistress Constance punish me than have you be in pain."
He strove to balance himself on his knees. There was a long silence. Richard stared at her boots and coughed a little, struggling to breathe with the pain in his shoulders. The silence seemed as if it would never end. He didn't know what she was going to do to him next.
"I don't understand you, Richard Cipher," she said softly at last, the anger gone from her voice. "The spirits take me. I don't understand you."
She walked behind him, unhooked the device that held his arms, and walked out of the room without another word. He couldn't straighten out his arms properly and fell on his face. He didn't try to get up. He only cried against the bloody floor. After a time, he heard the bell calling them to the evening devotion. Denna came back in, squatted down next to him, put her arm gently around him and helped him to his feet. "We are not allowed to miss a devotion," she explained in a quiet voice, hooking the chain to her belt. The sight of his blood all over the white leather was shocking. There were strings of it across her face and in her hair. As they walked to the devotion, people who usually spoke to her averted their eyes and gave her wide passage.